Hey everyone, it's Cardiff. This is the Indicator from Planet Money. Today and tomorrow, we are going to be pouring ourselves a holiday drink and talking to friends of the Indicator. These are people who have appeared on the show multiple times this year, and we're going to ask them, what economic indicators should we be looking at in 2019? That's coming right up.
This message comes from the Indicator's sponsor, Capital One. Capital One's indicator is zero because they offer accounts with zero fees or minimums. And they offer accounts that can be opened from anywhere in 5 minutes. Capital One. What's in your wallet? Capital One N.A. Support also comes from Allstate, which now offers life insurance that pays out like a monthly paycheck. Allstate Monthly Income Term Life Insurance, issued by Allstate Assurance Company, Northbrook, Illinois. Not available in New York.
Our first guest in this Look Ahead to 2019 series is Semeia Keynes. Semeia is the trade and U.S. economics editor at The Economist, and she joins us from her offices in D.C. Semeia Keynes, your holiday drink of preference.
Ooh, that would have to be a nice cup of peppermint tea.
Peppermint tea?
Yeah.
Okay, and what about 2019? What indicator do you think we should all be following?
Well, I'm looking out very carefully at what happens to soybean sales. This obviously has been a big thing in the U.S.-China conflict. As the trade tensions have ramped up, basically you've seen this huge drop-off in U.S. soybeans going to China. The Chinese just essentially stopped buying any U.S. soybeans. And now we've got this truce or negotiation period, and basically the Chinese have said, yep, we'll buy some soybeans. And so the question is, you know, how many can they buy? Are the U.S. going to be satisfied with that? A farmer's going to be satisfied with that. I'll be looking at the numbers.
So if, in fact, soybean sales start going up and up and up again next year, what do you think that would signal about the broader future of trade negotiations between the U.S. and China?
I probably see it as a necessary condition for things to get better, but not a sufficient condition for things to get better. So if sales go up and up and up, it shows the Chinese are playing along. However, obviously, soybean sales aren't going to solve the underlying problems. So at best, it could buy a bit more time to solve those problems.
Yeah, there's also a sense in which if soybean sales go back to where they were, it doesn't necessarily signal a trade victory. It just gets us back to where we were. I mean, it's kind of like this holiday season, I'm sure I'm going to eat too much and put on a bit of weight, and then I'll hit the gym in January and hopefully lose it. But it would be like me celebrating that as like some great achievement when, in fact, I'm just back to square one.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Clearly, if we don't see any increase in soybean sales over the next few weeks or a couple of months, then that's pretty worrying. It just will signal to the U.S. that the Chinese are repeating their old habit of making promises and they're not following through.
Semeia Keynes, enjoy your peppermint tea and have a wonderful holidays.
Thank you.
And next up is economist Jared Bernstein, who was a member of the Obama administration, and he's now at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. Jared is hanging out in NPR's DC studios. Jared Bernstein, welcome back.
Thanks. Thanks for inviting me.
Jared, what is your favorite holiday beverage?
Well, I'm not a drinker of alcohol, so I have to say my favorite beverage would be a glass of almond milk. Why almond milk? Because my favorite thing to do around the holidays is eat all of these cookies that my wife bakes, and I accompany them with a tall glass of almond milk.
Oh, and they go down so much nicer that way.
I think so.
Yeah, so while you're leaning back in your favorite chair and you've got your glass of almond milk and you're eating your cookies and you're ruminating on the year that was and thinking ahead to the year that will be, what economic indicator are you going to be paying attention to?
That would be the U.S. dollar. It's one of the most important indicators out there, given how underappreciated it is. For example, it's a real determinant of the trade balance. And in case you've been living under a rock for the last year, you know that that's not just an economically relevant indicator, but it's a very hot political potato these days as well. It also has a lot to do with inflation. It has a lot to do with the actions of the Federal Reserve. And it's an important indicator, to coin a phrase, of how the U.S. economy is doing relative to other economies out there. That's one of the reasons I find the dollar so interesting. If I'm talking to you about the unemployment rate or GDP or inflation, these are all indicators in and of themselves. The exchange rate or the value of the dollar is always relative to other currencies. So just by saying that word, I'm interested in the dollar, I'm invoking all kinds of interesting questions, not just about our economy, but about everybody else's too.
How do you think that fluctuations in the dollar affect the way that we do policy, economic policy in the U.S.?
You know, it's really a fascinating question right now because the dollar's gotten so political. Because of the fiscal policy of the moment, where we've had really very stimulative fiscal policy that sped up U.S. growth relative to that of our competitors, the dollar has strengthened. And one person who doesn't like that is President Trump, who keeps worrying about this impact we talked about earlier.
That it was his policy!
You know, if he wants to know why the dollar is so strong, he could look in the mirror. So the fiscal policy is contributing to a stronger dollar. But then go over to the monetary side. Well, here, the stronger dollar actually dampens the inflationary growth rate. So it may be one of the factors that leads the Fed to decide, well, maybe we don't need to raise interest rates every quarter next year.
All right. So two good recommendations there. Follow the dollar and cookies with almond milk.
Yum.
Can't go wrong.
Both of those just sound great.
Yeah. And last on our tour of what the Indicator's friends will be watching next year is Martha Gimbel. Martha's the research director at the Indeed Hiring Lab, which, as we have described on this show, is kind of like the Avengers, but for labor market data. Martha Gimbel, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Your preferred drink of the holiday season?
Eggnog.
Eggnog, with or without alcohol?
Obviously with.
Not obviously. It's okay to like it without it.
For me, definitely with, and you have to make it at home.
You have to make it at home. What, did you put anything special in it?
I put in a lot of nutmeg.
Really?
Yes. I'm pro nutmeg. I'm taking a pro nutmeg stance.
So you're at home. You've made your own eggnog. You're sitting back. You're relaxing by the fire. What indicator are you looking at in 2019?
So I'm looking at the share of the labor force that is still stuck in part-time employment. We talk a lot about the unemployment rate and how great it is that it's back to the 1960s. But if you look at what jobs actually look like for people, we're still not where I'd like to see us. So looking at the share of the workforce that is working involuntarily part-time, it's still not back to pre-recession levels. And actually, it's about where it was a year ago.
Okay. And this indicator is interesting to me because, yes, it captures something about the availability of employment itself, but it also captures something about whether or not it's the kind of employment that people really want.
Exactly. It's not just about the job that you're currently working in. It's about the job that you want to be in. And if you look at fastest growing job search terms on Indeed, one of the ones that's growing fastest, still at this point in the recovery, is just full-time work. People still want a job where they can work 9 to 5, 40 hours a week.
And you said that for this indicator, it's about where it was a year ago. That's after years of progress when a lot of these people who were working part-time were going full-time. It sounds like you're saying that maybe that progress has either slowed down or even stopped.
I'm not there yet. I'm really hoping that we're going to see continued improvement in the next few months, but it is definitely frustrating that we haven't quite gotten there this year.
Okay, so everybody needs to follow in 2019 people who are working part-time but would rather be working full-time, and everybody should go over to Martha's house for a sip of her homemade eggnog.
With nutmeg.
With nutmeg. Pro nutmeg. And that is it for part one of our Look Ahead to 2019 series. Tomorrow we'll bring you part two. This episode is produced by Darius Rafieyan and edited by Patty Hirsch. The Indicator is a production of NPR.